King the Chef, how's it going?
Very well, sir. Very well. Cannot complain.
How's your week going? Actually, how's your year going, actually?
The year has been incredible, I have to say. We're in the month of September now, and it has been a really fruitful year for me. I've done and been to some incredible places, done some incredible events. So yeah, it's been incredible, really. And September's been incredible as well so far. It's been incredible. So yeah.
That is amazing. All right, so with this podcast, I always go back to where I first met the guests.
Okay.
In 2016 or 17 with King's Kitchen.
No, was it that long ago? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
For
Wow.
those who don't
Yeah.
know, where does King the Chef's journey begin?
Where does my journey begin? Okay. So my professional chef's journey began in 2008. I went to work in a couple of restaurants, a gastro pub in Hampstead, and then another gastro pub in Highbury, Islington, where essentially I cut my teeth, as they say in the industry, got my chops, went through the ranks, the motions, what have you. And I decided, for me, I didn't want to do the restaurant end of the culinary world. It just wasn't for me. The environment wasn't for me. And I said, look, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it for myself. So I created a catering company, a very successful catering company, which is obviously where we met. And I had that for 12 years. And that has now brought me onto this chapter of my journey, which is doing the private chefing all around the world. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's essentially where my journey started.
That's amazing. And so I know that at some point you were doing a wedding. Were you doing weddings before you were in the restaurant business or after or during?
Sorry, did you repeat that question?
Yes. Were you doing, I know you did weddings at some point.
Yes, so within the catering field, what I did was predominantly corporate catering, but on the odd occasion we did, weddings and stuff like that. So yeah, weddings were we had a few weddings domestically and internationally. I'll give you a really nice one, really good fond memory I have of doing a wedding. This was in the south of France in Montpellier. I was asked to do, God, this is 10 years ago, 2014. My God, time flies. Anyway, I was asked to do a wedding out there in a chateau. It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And the experience, just everything. Montpellier is on my list to go back to. So yeah, incredible. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so I know you're also doing I believe it was weddings in like Harrow, South Asian weddings. Is that correct?
Correct. So, well, I tell you what, I actually, we can actually go back, way back to my teen years where I worked for an Asian catering company. And we used to do Asian weddings up and down the country, up and down the UK. And if I'm honest with you, I think that's where I got my eye on the catering
I see.
field. Yeah, that's really what opened my eyes to, this world and understanding what it was about and understanding where you could go with it. And I think that was my first taste of catering, especially for Asian weddings. And it's Asian weddings are very much like our cultural weddings, where it's they last for days, right? 3, 4 days, and very grandiose, no expenses spared, very lavish, but a sense of community and culture. And I love that about us black and brown people. We go all in when it comes to stuff like that. And so for me, that was an incredible introduction into this world. And now I'm in it, I'm submersed in it. It's almost like a full circle moment for me. So having started in an Asian catering company, specifically Asian weddings, to now doing weddings all over the world, that influence for me, it's been incredible, absolutely incredible.
Amazing. All right. So people may have seen you online, may have seen you work because you have several famous clients, right?
Yes.
And so can you name some of the people who now hire King the Chef to
Okay. I have been doing this for a moment now, and I'm very grateful, very privileged to, be at the level, working at the level I'm working at. And, you know, that comes with, what's the word, how can I say it? That comes with, you know, an array of people who've asked to hire my services. So, I mean, it is a long list, so I'm not going to go through the entire list, but I will give you a few names. I have cooked for Christian Louboutin. I have cooked for the actor John Cena, the actor Idris Elba. I have cooked for Edward Enninful. He was the, I think he was the chief operator, forgive me for this, but chief director or something like that of British Vogue. The list goes on. We'll stop there, but the list does go on. So.
And so how does that happen? How does someone, for example, stand out in, because I'm sure there are several chefs, right?
Yeah.
I know because I've tried your food, so I know you've done so well for yourself.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
But for those who don't know, how does someone go from working as one player in a
huge
to standing out and being set apart to the point where you're making food for the guys at Vogue, Idris?
Okay.
How does that happen?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked me that question. Honestly, the honest answer to that question is being yourself. I cannot stress that. I cannot put that on my list of priorities. You can only be you. You cannot be anyone else. You cannot pretend to be anyone else. You can only be you. And you know what? When you're you, you can be great at that. People buy into the person. They buy into who you are, your character, your integrity. That takes you to places more so than any skill set. I'll say that.
That is very interesting because this podcast, one of the main things that I found in the conversations is working out how to commodify who you are as a person. Right.
Yeah.
Because skill is one thing.
Yes.
That is in a business where it's very personable.
Right? Very personable. Yeah.
So I'm saying I feel like your character and who you are goes, I'll say this, your skill gets you the look in, but who you are keeps you in the room.
Correct. The skill gets you into the room. People notice you for your skill, but what sustains you and keeps you there is your character, your integrity, how you make people feel by your integrity. And people remember that. They might not remember what you say, but they remember how you made them feel. So, yeah.
Okay, so you have all these massive clients, right?
Yeah.
Doing very well. You're doing very well. In your mind, was there a point where you realized that, you know what, I hate the phrase made it because everyone's made it is different, right?
Right.
Was there a point where you realize, whoa, I've come a very long way? And do you recall what that point was?
Excellent question. I think that phrase coined, I've made it, or the person's made it, it is different for every person, okay? And you set your parameters depending on what you want to achieve. Success looks different to everyone. Some people's success is financial. Some people's success is in here. Some people's success is who you're around, okay? For me, it's a combination of all of those things. Again, I'm going to go back to that word I used just before, integrity of character. That is how I measure my success. There's financial rewards, yes, of course, but you know what? It's more about how I make people feel. And how you make people feel is when you keep getting the callbacks. That was my moment, is when I kept getting the callbacks for my services and what I do. But again, that comes back to my character. When I'm in these rooms, when I'm in these spaces, is how you make people feel. And you can make people feel great with food, all right? I will say that. And so that's my measure of success. There's that. I hope that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so in that sense, I didn't realize that people who have the choice to pick anyone were choosing you because they have options, right?
Absolutely. Everyone's always got options. Yeah. Like, I'll put my hand up and say, I am not the best chef in the world. I'm one of them, but there are a myriad of chefs doing what I'm doing. But no one can be me. And bottom line, that's it.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so for those who've never experienced King the Chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does the King the Chef experience look and feel like?
Oh, Oh, another great question. Wow, you're firing all these great questions at me. A kingship experience looks like excellence. It's filled with love. You're going to leave with a, as my ancestors say, belly full. But more importantly, you're going to feel good about yourself after you've had my service. You're going to feel good about yourself, and your guests are going to feel good about themselves too. And you're going to have a sense of culture. You're going to have a sense of pride. You're going to have a sense of camaraderie, and it's going to come back full circle. So that's the King the Chef experience.
Amazing, I hear that. Okay, and so how does it work usually? Someone comes to you and says they want to hire you. So how does it work normally? Is there like a set time? Is it, for example, is it one evening? Can someone hire you for a longer period of time?
Okay, so where I am now in my career, I am extremely busy and I'm booked out for months at a time. In fact, sometimes I have a year schedule already booked up. So for me, what I tell you why I really advocate for, or maybe that's not the right word, but what I like is the fact that I'm not accessible to everybody. And I don't think you should be accessible to everybody, because then you spread yourself very thinly. You can reduce the quality of your product. You can reduce the quality or your integrity as well if you're here, there, and everywhere. So I think for me, the smaller, not the smaller the better, but the more niche the better. I will say that. And so I have a select few clients that I work with. And sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Okay, I have a select few clients that I work with. So that handful of clients is in a circle, and that's all word of mouth. So I like to get my jobs through that circle. I'm not a person where you can, just go onto Google, type my name in, and you get a booking page comes up, and you could book me. No, I don't do that. I have done that, but I find for me personally, with the clientele that I have, that doesn't work. It's all word of mouth for me, and it's that relationship. People trust you, so you create a bond, and your bond is your work. Yeah.
That's powerful, because when I think about, okay, so obviously you're in the food space, right? But whether it's music, whether it's that bar ring, the one thing I've heard throughout the what I've been talking to people about really has been trust, right? Which
Yeah.
I spoke to two barbers a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
One was like Tom Hardy, another was like Mike Epps, and they said we're saying is trust, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get for a haircut, they can get a good little food. However, it's the person who's cutting the hair, it's the person who's making their food, right? And
Yeah.
it's trust. So it makes complete sense in that sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
It's a very intimate relationship you have being a private chef, a very intimate relationship you have with your client, because they essentially are trusting you to look after their diet, to feed them, to nourish them, right? To sustain whatever it is they're doing. Maybe it's acting or whatever it is they're doing. Okay. That's a big deal for me. So I don't take that lightly. Again, my integrity goes before anything that I do. So I show up. First of all, I show up for myself. Okay. Whatever I do, I show up for myself and I think to myself, well, what do I want? And then that then transfers over to the client. If I get that right, my job's easy. I make everything else easy after that. If I'm satisfied with what I'm doing, it makes my job easy. Because if I haven't let myself down or I have lack of integrity, it doesn't transfer on to the client. Does that make sense?
100%.
And it can make that makes your life a lot easier. Discipline. I had this conversation yesterday with a really good friend of mine. We were talking about business and where we've come, how we've built our platforms over the years. And I think the main word that came up was integrity. And it's always keeping that at the forefront of anything that you do. I think the minute you compromise your integrity, you let yourself down. And in doing so, you let the client down. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay,
Yeah.
so you mentioned, for example, nourishment and feeding them, obviously, right?
Yes.
For example, so do you then work closely, let's say it's an actor who's training for a role or anything,
Yeah.
do you work closely with their healthcare providers? Do you work closely with their PTs? How does it work? Are you given, do you know what I'm saying? Are you given like a
Absolutely. So, another great question. I think what essentially being a private chef, you are responsible for this person's diet. So whether it's an actor or a singer or a personality, they may have a requirement to look a certain way when they're on camera or doing whatever they're doing. So within that comes a nutritional field. So I've had to up my game and learn about nutrition, as well as obviously the practical side of cooking and understanding people's body types. The ectomorphs, all of that comes into play. And I think, again, going back to what I was saying about, I like to have a niche clientele. When you have the niche clientele, you don't spread yourself thinly in that department. So you are very specific to each client and you know exactly what their body type needs, what their body type, and more importantly, what their body type doesn't need. So yes, the nutrition part of it comes into play as well as the practical side, and it's very important because you have your relationship with the client is intimate in that regard because you have to be aware of what they're eating and how they're eating and when they're eating and what this then does to them. So yes, I have to talk to personal trainers, sometimes nutritionists as well. So myself and a nutritionist will come up with a meal plan, we'll devise a meal plan together for this particular client. I sit down with each of my clients intimately and say, well, look, tell me what the goal is here. What are we looking to increase muscle mass? Are we looking to decrease our weight? What's the timeline on that as well? Because obviously the timeline dictates what food you produce for them, or what meal plan you produce for them. So it's very intimate. And again, it circumvents back to that a relationship of integrity. Very important. Very important.
Interesting. So I spoke to a personal trainer and a boxing promoter last week, right? Because 2 years ago I was in a session and new artist and his team came in and said, now that in short, basically it was by this time next year you're going to be on stage, right? Let's work on your body and physique to put on some size, right? I'm thinking to myself, that's a lot of pressure for an 18-year-old because I know that I didn't.
Absolutely.
And I didn't become a full man, in my opinion, until about 24, 25.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, in your case, it's interesting because people think fitness and think gym and barbells. But in your case, right, it's much deeper because it's food and nutrition, right?
Yes.
And so, in that instance, right, are there ever times where you are clashing with your client about what they can and can't eat? How much control?
Oh my God, absolutely. Look, people, especially people, who have the access to finances, will want to eat lavish all the time, will want to eat the stuff that's indulgent. And look, I always say this, yeah, balance is key. As long as you balance your diet, you gotta have a little bit of fun. Being disciplined allows you to have a little bit of fun with your diet. And as a personal chef slash nutritionist, I can factor that in to that program. There's no fun in just being so disciplined that you don't factor in any, a cheat meal or whatever you want to call it, right? Because then all that does is it makes you miserable. It makes you not want to stick to your diet plan or your meal plan. And you're more likely to break that. So my thing is if I have an assignment to, say a client needs to lose, let's say 3 or 4 kilos over the next 2, 3 months, whatever. With that, I know how to break that down to get to that goal, but I'm gonna factor in some fun as well. I'm gonna factor in some fun. But yes, there are parts where the client will push back on you, or you can tell they've been snacking a little bit extra at the weekend. And then you're like, okay, so how's that working out for you? And then it might be a case of, okay, well, then I need to go back and tweak something because that means they're not getting everything nutritionally from their diet because they've had to go and snack. So I'm like, okay, we need to listen to that. I then take that, go back to the drawing board, rework it, and then tweak the diet, tweak the meal plan, essentially. So there's a little bit of fun in there. So you're not going to have to oversnack. You're not going to have to think, oh, shit, I can't have that. Well, you can have that, but we're going to do it like this. We're going to do it in a small quantities. You got to have fun with this. You know, yes, it's an obligation, but you got to have, I like to have fun with my obligation. So, yeah.
It's interesting. So it really is about integrating people's needs into what they have to do, because if they don't feel they can get what they need,
right,
one within that confine.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said earlier on, you know, working out, doing weights or cardio is part of having a great all around physique and mental physique as well, because that's important as well. A lot of people don't realize the mental side is just as important as the physical. But everything starts in your gut. 80% of let's say your weight loss regime is your diet. Okay. But everything starts with the gut. If your gut is not in a great state, you are not going to be able to absorb the nutrients that are coming from the food that I'm providing for you. You're not going to get the best, you're not going to be optimum, you're not going to get the best out of this stuff. So my thing is, once you understand the process and the role of your gut, even mentally, everything falls into place. For instance, like I do a bone broth, okay, and this is life changing for a lot of my clients, because it supports gut health. It's filled with protein. The amino acid profile on bone broth is incredible. It's packed with collagen, so it's great for your skin, great for women. And it also tastes good as well. And you can have it in place of tea or coffee, and it fills you up for longer. It's stuff like that, knowing how to integrate stuff that's healthy into someone's diet in a way where it's not compromising everything or compromising their day. You know, the last thing you want is for an actor to go on set pissed because he's had to eat a salad or she's had to eat a salad or something. So my thing is, there's ways you can tweak someone's diet to factor in good nutrition, but it's also tasty, tasty as well. So yeah, everything starts in the gut. Once you prepare the gut, everything changes from your mental to your physical, and the changes are very quick once you get the gut right. So for me, it's very important to understand the nutrition side of things, the effects of that, and generally how the client then feels. And then again, that comes back, I'm going to use the word again, it comes back to integrity, because that client is going to now want to hire you for everything they do. Once you know and understand and how their body works, it's a no-brainer for them. So
it's interesting. Yeah. So speaking about food as it relates to mental health and the effect, so have you obviously you've seen it, but
yes,
how remarkable is it, for example, you go into a situation where you take your skill set, how apparent is it when you see a client's mental health improve based on what you've made for them?
Let me tell you, it's an incredible feeling. I'll take the client I'm working with at the moment. We started this journey. The client I'm working with is an actor right now, and they are doing a shoot for pretty much the entire year. And at the beginning of the journey, we started in April, end of April, May. The beginning of the journey, my assignment was, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to eat like this, and maybe, you know, we'll lose maybe like 4 kilos here. I said, okay, no problem. Okay, we're going to cut out red meat. We're going to cut out this. We're going to cut out that. So I went back to my drawing board, factored in all those points, come back, reassessed it a month later, tweaked it again, reassessed it the following month, tweaked it again. We got to month 3 and I've seen the difference in terms of their body, their mindset, a lot lighter in their head. A lot more sharper. The cognition is on point. And it's incredible to have that assignment. Like I said to you earlier on, it's very niche what I do. It's not just cooking, and that person's trusting me It's not just, oh, I'm going to, you know, put a bit of rice or some quinoa on your plate and off you go. No, I'm going to look at your journey. Look at everything we're doing. Look at what I'm feeding you. Look at how you're responding to it. And need be come back and tweak it because you have a goal. And also I have a goal. I want to help you get to that goal. And my job is to do that. That's why you've got me here, you know. So it's nice. No, it's not nice. It's incredible to see my client evolve from that place to that place by helping him on this way and doctoring their I hate using the word diet, but doctoring their meal plan essentially. But the mental part, I think, again, like I said, everything starts in the gut, but the mental part, super important. People, a lot of people forget that when it comes to food, is there's a mental stimulation. You know, we do a whole bunch of stuff with mushrooms and sea moss and moringa. All of these things I use in my meal plans for some of my clients. But these things have a long-term, positive long-term effect on not just the physical, but the mental side as well. So when I see the mental side turn, I know that's now implanted in that client's head. So every time we do something, they'll be like, okay, do you remember when we did that and how I was feeling? I'm like, yeah, that's now a reference for that client when they come to you. And that's an incredible thing.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
The reason
It's
that
incredible.
I'm like want to speak to you, for example, and from PTs is because a few years ago, Netflix had like a huge slate of like mid-century biopics about Black celebrities, right? As you're watching these films, you're on Wikipedia, you're thinking, okay, how did they die? It's very more about how did they die, right? One thing I realized was that the leading killer for most like Black celebrities was hypertension, cholesterol, and diabetes. Right? And so hearing what you do is very remarkable because beyond the aesthetic, there really is a really like a healthcare value in what we're doing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You understanding how tough question, right? If you don't know about it, but how, is there a lineage of like Black chefs in Hollywood? Because you are currently, in my opinion, one of the leading Black chefs, or just and in general, right?
Thank you.
But in Hollywood, in general, right? But are there people who, let's say, you could name going back 20, 30 years? Is you know what I'm saying?
Redefine your question. I don't think I'm quite getting what you're asking me. Say,
Sorry.
repeat your question. Sorry.
Of course, man. So, were there chefs, let's say, 20, 30, 40 years ago, or is there a culture of, let's say, Black celebrities having chefs?
Got you. Got
Mm-hmm.
you. I wouldn't be able to reference that. Clearly, because of the age that I am. But I would say this. I think now, where from what I've seen in the industry that I work in, there aren't many people that look like me
Wow.
doing what I'm doing. I will say that. And I have met other celebrity chefs. I've worked alongside other celebrity chefs on films, etc. And no one looks like me. In fact, interestingly enough, when I'm on the set of a film, people don't think I am that chef. When they find out, because I'm not going to be, oh, look, it's me. I'm not that type of person. When they find out, the tune changes. I'll just say that. Yeah, the tune changes, and it's very apparent. I'm gonna leave that one there. But moving forward, I would love to see more people like myself in the film industry doing what I do because there is room for it, there's scope for it. And just like what you said, you know, in terms of hypertension in our community and diabetes and you know all these health even dementia health food health related issues can be adhered to with the right knowledge, right nutrition, the right background, and the right types of food for that person's body type. So again, I would love to see more people like myself come through that door. And look, hopefully, you know, I can inspire that, and hopefully I can be the catalyst for that as well moving forward. Because the production industry you know, it's very it's dominated by people that don't look like myself. So, you know, and look, that's what it is. You know, it's just what it is. However, there are actors of color whose body types are different from other actors of not the same color. So the foods they eat are going to be different. The way they respond to the environment is different. For instance, if you go to another country, like the majority of black people, we have O negative blood type, right? And O negative blood type, we actually need to eat animal protein, okay? And it's just for our genetic makeup. We actually are supposed to eat it. Now, you know, in different climates, we respond differently to, you know, to sun or to cold. You know how our skin is. You know, in the wintertime, our skin dries up. Some of us get, I
Ashen.
know I do. I get eczema in the winter time. If I'm in the cold, I get eczema. And you know, I'm 42 now. I've never had eczema. I started getting the last 4 years. And I'm like, well, what's that about? And it's the environment, you know, and obviously the food that I'm eating in this environment. So that changes depending on where you go. So with that in mind, the reason why I'm saying this is because I have personally have that knowledge of traveling to these countries and seeing the effects of the environment, the climate, weather on people that look like me, you know, and I can doctor a meal plan or a diet to adhere to that. So it's interesting. I would love to see more people that look like me come through that door, particularly in the production world and the film industry, because there are actors who also look like me who do require nutrition information and have a or to have a better understanding of it. And you know, again, like I said, our community is you know, where we have a lot of hypertension, a lot of high blood pressure, we have a lot of, you know, diabetes, and that's because, you know, we've been eating a certain way for centuries. Okay. What I think I'm very privileged to have learned is that there are things that we can do to the foods that we love. Okay. All right. Foods that we love and know that are traditional, that are cultural, we can tweak them. There are things, and that still taste the same. You can tweak them to taste the same, tweak them to be a little bit more healthier, tweak them to be a little bit more digestible. You know, and that again has come with my knowledge of traveling around the world, doing what I'm doing, excuse me, being in different countries, being in different climates, using the produce from those countries, that I probably wouldn't be able to get here in the UK in their freshest, simplest form. So there's a myriad of things that you can do in terms of diet for people that look like us. And it's incredible. And I'm privileged again to be at the forefront of that. And look, I would love to be able to keep carrying that torch for people that look like me to come up after me, come behind me and do the same thing. And then keep passing that knowledge on because no one's going to do it. So we've got to take responsibility for that for ourselves.
100%. I think
Yeah.
to me is one of the main things I'm focused on, just in general, and just even with this platform, really is to say that building a career is one thing, but actually, you can't enjoy an amazing career if you're not healthy.
No, you can't enjoy anything if you're not healthy. And that goes with your mind as well. I think your mental health, it actually starts with your mental health. The physical is a result of the mental. Okay, it's how you feel about yourself is what you're going to show. Okay, it's what you're going to echo. So I think once you get your mental health right, I mean it's a symbiotic relationship. You can't really have one without the other. One doesn't really work without the other. Definitely intrinsic, but once you do get the mind right, everything follows. So I think, you know, again, like I say, what I try and do is incorporate foods that are great mental health stimulants. You know, again, I use moringa a lot. I use ashwagandha. You know, there's all these spirulina, cholera. There's all these things that are great for your mental health that are in doing so also great for your physical health. So, yeah.
Amazing. What does Moringa do?
So moringa is a leaf. that is predominantly found in West Africa. I know it's also found in Asia as well. In fact, I was in South America and I actually saw it growing out there as well. It's a leaf that's predominantly found in West Africa and it grows rapidly all over the place. Moringa is, I think the best way for me to describe it is it's a nutritional bomb. Okay. So it's a small little leaf, and a lot what a lot of people have done now is they've dried the leaf and ground it into powder, so you can put it into tea form or have it in your smoothies or whatever. But I really like the actual leaf, and it's a small little leaf. It's almost it's like a little penny, right? A little green leaf. And what it does as well is when it's in the sun, it expands. It's an incredible product. But what they do in West Africa is they make it into a porridge and give to children who are malnourished or born with deficiencies. And it's like I said, it's moringa. It packs a punch. It's full of amino acids. The profile, anti-inflammatory, the profile is incredible. And what it does is it just kickstarts your metabolism, your gut. It puts everything into a right environment. And they give it to kids who, like I said, who are malnourished to bring them back up to good health. So for me, I stand by Moringa. It is an incredible product, and I've seen the benefits of it mentally and physically.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
But
interesting.
you, again, you can get it here in the UK. You can get it in powder form. You can get it in plant form, but in very specific shops, you can get it in plant form here in its actual leaf form. But they do it in some of the health food shops in powder form, which is fine. Chuck it in your smoothie, chuck it into some hot water in the morning, and just knock it back, and you'll feel the difference. You'll feel the difference. It's a great product.
It's amazing, man, hearing
Yeah.
the science. Because I feel as though when you see someone, for example, in fantastic shape, you're just seeing the finished product, but you don't often realize how much thought and effort has gone into it.
It's a lot of work that goes into it. So when you see someone with a great physique and you look thinking, God, like they look great. That's years of work. That's years of work. That's not anything overnight. I mean, look, there are overnight fixes, but I could tell the difference. Someone's taking a pill or an injection, I could tell the difference.
Interesting.
You absolutely could tell the difference. It's just something in the aura. It's energy. I think I've become discerned in reading energy.
I know what it is.
Yeah, so
When you
it's and
train,
go on.
and you when you train and your blood is flowing, for example, right?
Yeah.
You can see the person looks healthy.
I'm telling you, the
The
mindset, the
mindset.
face, they're glowing, even the way they speak. And you can also tell people's fingernails, the way their hair is growing. There's so many indicators as to this person is healthy or not. And there's a glow. I think healthy people glow differently. And they're not as pissed at life. Do you know what I mean? They're not as pissed at life because you're equipped for it. Anything that comes, your environment, you're equipped for it because you're giving your body the best defenses by starting inside here. Like I said, starting with your gut leads to your mind and everything else flows. The physical is the end product, if I'm honest with you. Yeah.
Amazing. Now, so when you work on a film set, right, you're employed by the client and not the production itself.
Right. So yes and no. So how it works on production film sets is the client will ask me, have I got the availability to come and do this project with them? I say yes, no, whatever. And so initially it starts with the client and then it gets handed over to production. So I then speak with production about requirements and what I need for my client. And then essentially, yes, they then employ me. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because it makes complete sense because your work enables the talent to be the best talent they can be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I think going back to what we were saying earlier on about the relationship you garner with these clients, it's a symbiotic relationship because again, like I said, integrity goes before anything. The client trusts you, okay? They are not going to have you on this project with them for however many months or whatever it is, however long it is, if they don't trust you. Okay. So that's a big deal, a huge deal in what I do. And super important as well. Super important. So they want you there with them in set every day to prepare their, say, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, or whatever it may be, because they trust you. You know, they know what they're getting, and they know they don't have to mess about with catering that's not got their dietary requirements or got what they require. There's no messing about. There's no mix up. There's no, oh, well, no, they know exactly what they're getting. So, yeah, essentially, happy client, happy production, right? Yeah.
Okay, so then, for example, other actors or, let's say, extras who would have, let's say, is it called craft services, right? It's craft.
So catering is kind of split into two. Yes, they have craft services, which do the snacks, all day snacks. So they do tea, coffee, juices. Maybe they'll do like, you know, those ginger shots that they do. They might do sandwiches, fruit pots, salads, stuff like that throughout the day. And that's constant throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Then you have the catering, which does the more substantial meals. So they'll do the breakfast, the lunch as well. But craft services is everything in between that. Make sense?
Interesting. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've known you for a few years, but I've never been on set with you. So me hearing this is great because I've seen you work in on a personal capacity, but never seen you on a set.
Right.
That is amazing, man. Okay.
Yeah. Working on a production set is pretty cool. And what I have now is I have my own kitchen now on set that I take with me on set. Yeah, so what I've done is I've customized it to my requirements as per my clients. And that comes with me on set everywhere I go. It's got all the equipment I need in there. It's got everything to help facilitate my client. It's a great setup because I know wherever I go, it's with me. So that enables me to do my job. My client's happy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, client's happy.
And you also mentioned ingredients, for example. And so do you source your ingredients from the location, and how do you source them?
Great question. So depending on where you are, depending on if it's studio based or, you know, you're on location, is where my supplier chain comes in. Luckily, I have a great supplier chain here in the UK because I used to do catering. Right. So I've kept all those supplier chains. So for me, it's pretty easy. And again, going back to what I was saying earlier on, is garnering those relationships, keeping those relationships super important, because when you need something, you need it. There's no, oh, we haven't got, well, you need it. Yeah. So I've got great relationships with suppliers throughout the UK. So depending on where I go, it's not, and to be honest with you, anywhere, I mean, I've traveled a lot. I've done a lot of productions here and abroad. I think now I trust myself with suppliers and getting the things that I need on time. I think I'm well versed in that now. So getting supplies to wherever we are, like I'll give you an example. We were shooting a film in Iceland, right, on the middle of a glacier, like 5 hours away from, you know, any type of civilization. And to get produce out there, you would have thought would have been a nightmare, right? But the knowledge I have, I was able to, you know, forward think everything. So I had a lot of stuff imported over there. And so when I got there, everything was there ready for me. And obviously with production, you know, working for a cost one,
right? Okay,
that comes with its own prerequisites as well. So getting stuff for that cost one member is not going to be hard. Production are there to help with that. So yeah.
All right. So for those who don't know, what is a cost one?
So for those who don't know, cast one will be the first cast member on that call sheet. So it will generally be an A-list actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, this is brilliant. Okay. Yeah. So hearing you speak and hearing your journey in this space, what I'm hearing is that being autonomous is very important, because I find
absolutely
when you go into this environment, right, entertainment, what no one tells you is that no one respects you if you fucking for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So I think that in school, mind you, now I'm being general, but I think in school, for example, you're taught go along to get along. In this space, it really is, if you don't show that you're a bit daring and a bit adventurous, so for example, I'm thinking of you being in Iceland, forward thinking, shipped over so that the client wouldn't freeze and starve to death, right? You really have to be autonomous and be bold and brave, right?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. All right.
Yeah, I think there's a responsibility that comes with this role, this job, and that responsibility is to get shit done, okay? And I think, look, I'm not here because I'm a walkover. I'm not here because, let things happen. No, I get shit done, right? And again, integrity. My integrity to myself first is to get shit done. It's to show up on time, be where you're supposed to be, and get shit done. You're there to work. You're not there for a vacation. You're not there to laze about, or you're not there to make other people's lives harder. You're there to do a job for this client. So that client is relying on you, trust you to sort out their nutrition and their food. End of. How you do it, they don't care. Okay. So you better have your shit together and show up when you need to show up. So my thing is, no matter where I go in the world, I don't make my problems other people's problems. I take care of what I need to take care of. I show up where I need to show up, and I'm not where if I don't need to be somewhere, I'm not there. It's very simple. But this is years of experience. You know, this didn't happen overnight. I don't take it for granted. I'm extremely chuffed to be where I am, but I have worked to get here. This hasn't happened overnight. All my experience from, you know, corporate catering to restaurant, working in restaurants to having my own catering company has attributed to where I am. So I understand the game. I understand what's required from these particular clients, especially. But when I actually take a step back, I fucking enjoy it. I really do. I've got to the stage in my career where I actually enjoy this. Yeah, it's a joy, it's a pleasure to be able to be in these spaces. And you know, going back to that respect thing, I think, look, you do command respect, but there's a way to do it. I think if you go in there all ballsy and, oh, look at me, I'm this person chef, like, no, not at all. I think if you, like I said to you earlier on, you can only be you, right? You can't be anyone else. Everyone else is taken. You can't be anyone else but you. As long as you're true to that, the right people will see that and respect you. Those that who don't matter, right? That's as far as I'm concerned. If you then find out afterwards, oh, that's so and so's chef, and then you want to be nice to me after that, I really have no time for you, because my thing is I treat people how I want to be treated. And everyone on set. So I'm so glad you asked this question, because there's a few things that I do when I get on set, right? First thing I do, one of the very first things I do, I go and speak to catering. Whoever the caterers are, I go and show my face. Hey, how you guys doing? There might come a time where you need their help, right? There might come a time where, let's for instance say, you've smashed all your eggs or whatever, or your delivery hasn't showed up. Catering's right there. Now, if you haven't got that relationship with them, they're going to look at you like, well, no, you know, you've gone up to something, it's like, no. But if you go and introduce yourself first and not introduce yourself, oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so chef. No, just say, look, I'm working with Cast One. I'm doing the food for them. Just come to say hi, show my face. Look, if you guys need anything, vice versa. And then you build that relationship. I think that's super important, relationship building in this industry. Because again, like I said, production is very niche, right? So that's one of the first things I do. I also get to know the producers on set as well, because they can make your life easy as well, especially if you're working with Cast One. You know, and they're there to facilitate, not just facilitate Cast One, but, you know, that's one of their priorities. So happy Cast One, happy production. So I get to know the producers as well. And then all the runners, I show my face, you know, and if I've got something left over, I'm like, here you go, have some of that. And before you know it, you've got a network of people around you
Very
that can, it's super important. You've got a network of people around you that can assist you in the event of, you know, super important. Such the learning. I've been doing production 4 years now. Been doing production. The stuff that I've learned is invaluable. I tell you, it's absolutely incredible. I love it. I absolutely love what I'm doing and love where I'm at.
It's funny you mentioned runners. I was a runner. My first TV job, I was a runner on a TV show, basically, where we had celebrity guests and they had to answer questions on a roller coaster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like carrying jackets, making tea. And trust me,
yeah.
I was like, what, 18, 19? It
yeah.
made a huge difference
when Big someone difference. Working
with class one to see, oh, how's it going? Because you feel very, can't lie to you, feel very small.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And look, I think I get production. There's definitely a hierarchy. There's definitely order. I get that. Okay. But it doesn't take much to be polite to people. And look, you make people's day. You feel better as well when you know, the energy is reciprocated. When you say hello to someone or you just give a smile to someone, it just makes for a better workforce, a better production for everybody. Like, my thing is this, we've got to work together. Why not be cordial? Why not just be nice to one another? And you know what? We can all go home at the end of the day. Do you understand? Yeah, for me, I try and get along with everyone on production, even down to the team that I work in as well. You know, there's other elements to the team that I work in. It's imperative that we get on, because at the end of the day, we're all there for a reason, right? And we're all there for one reason. So as long as you have that common goal in mind, I don't see what the problem is in being nice to people.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're a very busy man, so I'll let you go in 5 minutes, right? So.
All good.
I'm
enjoying this. This is good. It's good.
Yeah, so more time. Yeah, fine.
We can go 5 more minutes. Yeah, we can fire away. Yeah.
I know you've done production, right?
Yeah.
I also know you've done some very high profile weddings, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you who, I think, right, but how would you compare doing, obviously the different, but how would you compare doing productions, whether that's film or television, to private weddings? Are they the same?
Yeah? No, completely different. You cannot approach a celebrity wedding like a production. Completely different mindset. A celebrity wedding, okay, I'll give you the rundown. A celebrity wedding, you got one chance to get it right. That's it. Production, you know, you're there for months at a time. You know, you can be shit hot one day and the next day you could be like, oh, okay, I didn't really hit it that day. Do you know what I mean? Weddings, you've got one chance to hit it and knock it out of the park. You don't get a second chance to be great. Okay. So your A game has to be your A game. Right. So and even the menu is going to be different. Obviously, for a wedding, you're going for the wow factor, right? You're going for the taste, obviously, and you're going for the aesthetic, but you're going for the wow factor. Okay. Production is, you know, every day, run-of-the-mill meals, right? Completely different clientele, completely different setup, completely different setting, completely different purpose. Two separate types of two separate types of fields, food fields, completely separate. Yeah, so I wouldn't approach the two the same.
Amazing.
Yeah, wouldn't approach the two the same.
And so I think that you mentioned your hope is that, you know, more chefs come up and more people who are from our culture are able to work in these spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any programs that you're involved in or aware of in which someone who's tuned in, who's curious about getting into the space can access or reach out to?
Absolutely. So I am also part of the Future Plate, which is a Black Chefs Collective here in the UK. And it's the founder and owner is Mr. Julian George. Shout out, Julian. And he's done incredible things for the diaspora, people that look like myself. He's got a collective of us now who are chefs that work for celebrities, who work at some great high-end restaurants, or who are, you know, doing supper clubs or pop-up restaurants. And there's a great collective of, and you know what? It's been a joy and a pleasure to be part of that. So I'm a patron ambassador for the Future Plate. And what I love about that is, before this, I have never seen anything that has grouped people that look like me doing what I'm doing in the same boat. I've never seen it before. What I love about what the Future Plate is doing and its trajectory is it's shining a light on our culture, our cuisine, and the refinement of it. We go to the depths to even, you know, because you know our culture is not synonymous for writing recipes down. Okay, the recipes get passed down, but there's no written format of a recipe. There's no cookbook essentially. Okay, so what I love about the Future Plate is that we are redefining that. We are actually creating a chef's academy, a black chef's academy for budding chefs who are looking to get into the culinary industry, but looking to get into it specifically for the culture, right? So whether it's African, Caribbean, all the in-betweens, whatever, it's specific to that, okay? So that's a place where anyone who's looking to cut their teeth in the culinary world, or even just have a little bit of information about it, or maybe even do some work experience, that's the place that you come to. So I'm a patron, ambassador for Chef's Future Plate, Chef Signatures. And what I love about them as well is it's global. So they go all over the world to do events. For instance, we did an event in Venice, the Venice Biennale this year we did, and that was incredible. It was with the West African Museum of Art, WOMA. And we created a menu for the opening of the Venice Biennale. So it was a West African, Nigerian / Venetian menu, which I executive chef. It was incredible. Let me tell you, we went over there, we did our thing. We did our thing. And I was so proud to represent my culture, represent my people, you know, bringing that food to Italy and fusing it. And what I loved about that as well, David, is what I learned about our food and how it lends to Italian food. Let me tell you something. That was the collaboration I did not know could have happened, but it was incredible.
That's interesting. So how would you say it inspires or...
I'll tell you, right? So Italian food is super fresh. It's super fragrant. Our food is super fresh, super fragrant. So I'll give an example of some of the food that I did. So gnocchi is Italian, all right, which is the pasta, but it's mixed with potato. So I did a pounded yam gnocchi, right? So instead of the potato, I use yam, okay? Same way, same method to prepare it and to cook it, but then I paired it with a moringa pesto. So pesto, again, is Italian, but I, instead of using the basil leaves, I use moringa. I use moringa, fresh moringa leaves, you know? And that just brought an element of our culture to Venice, and it was incredible, you know. And I also did we did a tiramisu with a chin chin creme on top of it as well. And then I'm telling you, like it was a collaboration I did not know existed, and that gave me so many great ideas moving forward and what I could do and how we can, you know, elevate our food, you know, and bring it to another part of the world where people wouldn't necessarily taste our food. I think that's an incredible thing. So that's what I love about the Future Plate. The Future Plate are doing things like that, where, you know, we go all over the world and we show up and we give our, put our best foot forward. We give our best and showcase our culture and cuisine.
That's interesting. I remember the Rotimi party.
Oh, wow. That was, God, when was that? That was ages ago.
Pre-COVID, bro, 2019.
Pre-COVID, right? That was ages. Yeah, bloody hell, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
And I remember I've seen people who are from our culture enjoying food.
Enjoying our food, right?
People may have heard about something and try it and they enjoy it.
I'm all about, I hate this word, inclusivity. Yeah. But look, we'll use it. I'm all about, okay, how we elevate, how we evolve is by sharing our cuisine. Okay. We don't want to get, gatekeeping doesn't get you anywhere in life. I think in any industry, it doesn't get you anywhere in life. Okay. I think the thing to do is to share. Okay. Share culture, share cuisine, bring people into it so it's not appropriated. Because if people can appropriate if you don't share. And I think people appropriate when you don't share. So I think once you share culture, cuisine, there are so many doors that open up. So many people's lives you can touch an effect in a good way by doing that. And again, I'm going to go back to the future play because this is what we're doing over there. And it's an incredible concept. It's an incredible movement. Super proud to be part of it. And yeah, we've got some great things coming up. So hold tight on that. Great things coming up.
That's amazing.
King, yeah.
Great talking to you. Where can someone who's tuned in now find you online?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram. My page is at kingthechef_. To be honest with you, that's the only platform I really use. So you can find all my stuff on there. And there's a Linktree thing on there as well. So that takes you to all my other stuff as well. But yeah, predominantly Instagram.
Amazing. And if someone searches for Future Play on the same platforms, they can find...
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on the Future Plate as well. It's at Future Plate on Instagram as well. Also Twitter and I believe Facebook as well. If that's still your thing. But yeah, I'm part of the Future Plate as well. And the Future Plate are based at Somerset House. So very soon we'll be hosting the Chef's Academy down there. So please, when we are launched, come check us out.
That is brilliant. King, have a very nice day. I know you are.
Thank you. I appreciate this. This was a great start to my day. Now I feel really charged and, you know, ready to go and tackle the world. So thank you, appreciate you.
Well, my pleasure, man.
All right, man.
Bless you.
All right, take care.
See you.
All right, bye for now.